You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
This is Sienna Rodriguez. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at PA Distance Cyber Charter School.
This is Khalil Hauser. I'm 15 years old, and I go to Perry Traditional Academy.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. To open the discussion, Khalil and I were going to talk about nonviolent resistance.
All the violent protests and stuff that go on, I don't think there should be violence in them. I think it should just be calm and peaceful, and don't talk about bad things and just focus on the future and good things that shall come to us.
And to define nonviolence resistance, it is the practice of achieving goals as a social change through symbolic protests, civil disobedience, economic or political non-cooperation, or other methods without using violence. And as you were saying, like, not focusing on the negative aspects of it, but focusing on the positive parts, and that will help you and everyone throughout the protest relay their message in a manner that will be listened to. Because once violence gets involved, that makes it seem like it's not serious. You can obtain these things without involving violent manners and stuff. And MLK believed in nonviolence resistance, and it was pretty much the core of his foundation throughout his movement.
King stated that he was first introduced to the concept of nonviolence when he read Henry David Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience as a freshman at Morehouse College.
And in 1950, as a student at Crozer Theological Seminary, King heard a talk by Dr. Mordecai Johnson, president of Howard University, Dr. Johnson, who had recently traveled to India and spoke about the life and the teachings of Muhammad K. Gandhi. Gandhi, who King wrote, was the first person to transform Christian love into a powerful for social change. And Gandhi's stress on love and nonviolence gave King the method for social reform that he had been searching for. And his notion for nonviolence had six key principles. The first one being, one can resist evil without resorting to violence. And the second being, nonviolence seeks to win the friendship and understandings of the opponent, not to humiliate them. Third being, evil itself, not the people committing the acts, should be opposed. So instead of pointing out and associating the bad with people, associating the evil and the negative acts as their own being.
And fourth, those committed to nonviolence must be willing to suffer without retaliation, as suffering itself can be redemptive.
And the fifth being, nonviolent resistance avoids external physical violence and internal violence of spirit, as well as the nonviolence resistor not only refuses to shoot his opponent, but he refuses to hate him. The resistor should be motivated by love in the sense of the Greek word agape, which means understanding or redeeming good for all man. And then the sixth principle is that the nonviolent resistor must have a deep faith in the future, stemming from the conviction that the universe is on the side of justice. And that does hold true to today. If you put positivity out there, then it comes back to you threefold. If you put negativity out there, it comes back to you threefold. What you put out there eventually will come back to you. You know, what goes around comes around. So if you are preaching about hate and associating yourself with negativity, that's just going to come back to you. You're going to experience hate. You're going to experience like prejudice. You're going to experience all these things. But if you preach a positive message, you're going to get your message across. You're going to have followers trying to preach the same thing about this positive movement that you're trying to make. If we applied those key principles to protest and stuff, we would have an easier time being listened to. It makes sense.
I think what comes around goes around. Protests, you should be the leader that you want to be. Show and tell people that what's right is what's right, and talk about why there shouldn't be any violence in the protests and how that's helping people, like the police killing black people over things like that because they get out of hand and out of control. Riots and stuff happening, and then when people get killed, they understand that it was all because of how the violence started.
Sometimes it's not even just the people involved in the protests. If you think about the North Dakota pipeline, all of the protests, they were peaceful protests. They weren't getting violent, but the violent was from the police. If you think about maybe the police, why aren't they being trained to handle these situations without injuring and hurting people? Why can't we have our freedom of speech? That's being taken away from us. If you're telling me that me protesting a pipeline being built on a sacred land, you're denying me my freedom of religion, you're denying me my freedom of speech, you're denying me of these things that as an American citizen I should be granted. And especially the indigenous people of this country, they have had so many things taken away from them, and not until the 1940s have they been given their rights and being seen as equal citizens of this country, you know, with being hosed down, just like MLK and his march. You know, why can't the police force incorporate these nonviolence principles into their practice as being police officers? We'll take a break and we'll be back shortly. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, with me, Sayana Rodriguez, and
Khalil Hauser.
We were just going to talk in this segment about our personal experiences that we have faced being young black youth in today's society. One thing I wanted to mention was in my sophomore year in high school, I was in Bayonne, New Jersey, and at my school, I had one of my classmates in history telling me about how since I was of lighter skin tone compared to him, I have more privilege and I should really appreciate the fact that my skin tone's lighter because I'll have an easier life in the world. And I don't know how to explain it, but he upset me because it was pretty much him just disregarding the fact that he had amazing qualities of himself as a person, and just the fact that him putting himself down as a black male of a darker skin tone pretty much put everyone at the same level. His pigmentation, darker, lighter, disregarding the fact that black is beautiful and how we should just embrace being who we are, because we've been conditioned to thinking that the only way for black youth to be beautiful is if we lighten the legacy, if we bleach ourselves, and if we follow the ways of these European beauty standards that we have been taught. Straight hair, light skin, you know, that's not including us as black youth. We're taught to straighten our hair. We're taught that our kinks and curls are not beautiful, that our skin tone is not beautiful, that everything that makes the black community what it is not beautiful, and we should try to just undo ourselves. And I know you were saying that you had experiences in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. I was in fifth grade, and my teacher, Miss Russo, we were doing an essay on how we can change our community. And I wrote mine's, and mine's was the longest one of everyone else's. And I talked about putting parks and restaurants in our neighborhood instead of grocery stores and things in that nature, because where I live, there was nothing there. There was only one grocery store, and it got robbed, at least two or three times a week, and it was just hurtful to me that that was happening. So I think a restaurant would be better because people can just go in there and enjoy themselves, and actually the community can bring itself together and they can all have a good time. And then she gave me a D on it and gave me comments saying, you're how I was writing it, I was speaking how I was talking. And I thought that's how I should write an essay because that's how I was taught to. And she didn't think a restaurant was right to bring into it because black kids would mess it up, throw stuff at it, and break windows. But I think she lived in Spring Garden, and of course that's one of the places that most white people live, and she's really not have grown around black people. It hurt me that I had a D on it because of how I talked, and I wrote U instead of Y-O-U, and used the at symbol instead of spelling it out. And she told me that I had to rewrite it in 2 days and talk about different things, which I really didn't understand how to talk about if that's how she wanted me to write the essay about what I personally think.
Your opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's just very discouraging to have someone make you feel uneducated and make you feel like your opinion doesn't really matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, that was in elementary school. So, like, at a young age, you're just forced to have this idea, like, yeah, my opinion's not important because I can't write the way you're making me feel like there isn't really a way for me to progress and a way for me to grow. You're just telling me this is wrong, and you're not telling me how I can improve on that.
Mm-hmm. Public schools are different than private schools because most black kids go there and we're taught how we're supposed to be, but we're not taught how we want to be actually when we grow up. And our mindsets are set differently than what we want it to be, and how our parents teach us things different than how our teachers teach us things.
Our parents were hard workers, and they just worked jobs to, you know, get by. And we're going to schools where we don't necessarily have the best funding. We don't have new textbooks. We feel like fish trying to climb a tree, like Albert Einstein has said. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, that fish will live its entire life feeling like it can't do anything. Our school system isn't really based around learning. They're just giving us information to process and then regurgitate that information for test scores. It's very crippling. You don't feel like what you want to learn matters. What you have to say about things doesn't matter. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. You're listening to Streaming Justice, Music and Conversation about Civil Rights, Past, Present, and Future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, with myself, Sienna Rodriguez, and
Khalil Hauser.
We just wanted to go over some events that are going on in Pittsburgh today. Right now, from 10 to 5, is King for a Day at the Children's Museum on Northside. Adults and kids can join in reading aloud the speech of Dr. King at the microphone in the program hosted the Saturday Light Brigade with radio show. You can also create your own inspired civil rights images from Pittsburgh and listen to the Saturday Lights Brigade Social Justice webcast, which you are listening to right now.
And starting at 10 a.m., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration, Midland Women's Civic Club will host an annual event in the Main Stage Theater at Lincoln Park Performance Arts Center in Midland, including a lunch on at 11:30 a.m. in Alumni Hall. The keynote speaker at 1 p.m. is Dr. Christopher B. Howard, president of Robert Morris University. Details, lincolnparks.org or 724-576-4644.
And at 4:30, Martin Luther King Jr. Day Writing Awards is happening at Carnegie University's annual celebration. High school and college students from Western PA will read their winning entries. Jim Daniels and the Thomas Stockham Bakery University professor of English created this award program in 1999 to provide a safe place for students to talk honestly about shared experiences with discrimination. It's happening at the CMU campus, Rango's Ballroom. 5032 Forbes Avenue in Oakland. Admission is free, and details are on the school's website, www.cmu.edu. And then at 8 p.m., there's going to be a Poetry Unplugged event, the August Wilson Center for African American Culture at 980 Liberty Avenue downtown celebrates MLK Day with a night of poetry, music, and activism featuring poets and lyrics. Doors open at 8 p.m. with an after party at 10 p.m. and tickets cost $15 for students and $10 at the box office with ID. All right, and for this segment, we were going to talk a little bit about women's issues. But before we get into that, we got a tweet from at Ben Bayes, and he's wondering what actions can students take to affect beneficial change in public school systems?
I think that kids can make an essay, and the essay prompt can be asking us what we think changes we can have in our school system, and the kids can give their opinions on how we can change it and things that they would want and things that they can change. Their problems, and the school system can find solutions for them, actually probably get back to the kids and give them more information about what they're working on or how they can improve it.
Another thing could be like protests. Protests have worked in the past and can work if we incorporate, like we were talking about, the nonviolence resistance, of course, especially since it's for school change. You know, we want our voices as students to be heard, and we can get petitions to get signed. We can tell them our ideas through our writing, through our activism, through speaking about what changes need to be made in the school system, because the school system has been the same for almost 100 years. You know, we sit perfectly aligned in our classrooms. We are taught to raise our hands and be given permission to speak. You know, we follow a curriculum that doesn't really apply to the real world. And there has to be change from the inside in order to create change. What would a school be without its students? And the same with what would a school be without its teachers? So starting from the teachers and students, what change needs to be done? And then working outward.
I also think there should be classes on taxes and things of that nature, because we don't get taught that. And then when we get older, our teachers don't tell us this. And then our parents are the ones that have to tell us this, even though they should actually want to be the ones that teach us it. But we should have another person telling us how to do these things and be taught it.
Like life skills and stuff. There's a lot of things the schools aren't teaching us. They're not addressing a lot of issues in today's world. You know, we kind of get left on the back burner to figure out these things for ourselves. Like, I don't even know if I've even heard of some of the things that are going on in today's world if it wasn't for my curiosity poking me to do these searches online,
and
you know.
Facebook telling you instead of your teachers and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Issues that need to be raise our equality in general, for women's issues, for civil issues, and that's pretty much what MLK aspired to do. He wanted change. He wanted equality for all, and that's what we have the privilege of speaking about today and being able to reflect on. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back soon.
You're listening to Stream Justice, Music and Conversation about Civil Rights, Past, Present, and Future in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day with hosts Khalil Hauser and
Sienna Rodriguez. In this segment, we are going to continue because we didn't really get too in-depth about the women's issues. How do you feel about women's issues in America? Because it is a form of inequality in a sense. And there's many people saying that being a Western country, we don't need feminism because our women have more rights than those in other countries. But there is still a bridge that needs to be crossed. Feminism isn't just for women. It's for everyone. It's equality for all.
My mom, as a single parent, it's different how you can see the difference between men getting hired easily getting raises easily. Their pay is substantially bigger than women's. You can see how women work at restaurants and stuff and men work at supermarkets. As you can see the difference between jobs men can get and women can get, and it's just different. If we all want to be a great America, everyone should be equal and have the same rights, get the same pay, and live together.
And equality is more than just, you know, the racial division that there is in our country. It's a gender division as well. Mm-hmm. For women, they don't really get the credit that they deserve. And in my opinion, topics like being able to have the right to their own body, that was a big thing with the presidential election, Trump saying that he's gonna have government stop funding for abortions. I've known people who had abortions, and it's not something they do just for the heck of it because they want to just live carelessly. It's because financial circumstances, it's because of rape, it's because they're not ready. How can you give life to something like a being, a baby, a person, and not be able to support that life and let it grow and flourish in an environment where it is able to do everything? Having a single mom and seeing the struggles she has to go through with three kids, mm-hmm. and being the last one out the house, witnessing that, you know, my mom had to do a lot, and you can relate because you have a single mother as well. And when you witness that, you have so much more appreciation for them and so much more appreciation for women and what they go through on a daily basis. Maybe how this presidency, with Trump being our president-elect, has harmed our country or maybe helped it. Maybe it helped to raise awareness to these issues and brought to the surface all these issues that were pushed on the back burner and pushed aside and didn't want to be focused on until we had someone at a place where we're like, yeah, our country really is messed up. How can we make a country great again if it was never great to begin with? Mm-hmm. It was founded on principles to maybe be established and to do great things and to be a great place for people. But you look at in the history textbooks, all the things that led up to our country and today, January 16th, 2017. Did all that really make our country great? Was it ever really great? Our country is kind of divided in a sense with colorism and racism and, you know, these gender issues dividing us. How can we bring those together?
The country is just mixed up. I go to school and people don't like me because of my hair or how I dress, and it shouldn't be fair that people's opinions shouldn't matter to other people because that's how you want to live your life. But it's not really affecting anyone else. But if they have a problem with it, it's actually affecting them because they want to have a problem with it. And there's a group in our school. It's called GSA, it's Gay Straight Alliance. And our school is working on that, how to get gay people and straight people together and talk about issues that they have and how Trump doing things to like stop gay alliances and all that.
Mike Pence, our vice president-elect, has very stern opinions on straight conversion therapy, as if it's even possible to change a person's ability to be attracted to what they're attracted mm-hmm. to. It's something I think every school should have, a gay straight alliance. That's another divide. That's another thing that divides us. Mm-hmm. All these labels that we as people have been giving ourselves throughout the years, that divides us even more. At the end of the day, we're all just one race, the human race. Mm-hmm. And the impact that we have on each other, how we're destroying each other, how we're destroying our environment, how we're doing so much and not much is going to be left. Like, what is all this for? What is all this, you know, negativity and hate being spewed around for? You were saying if a person's way of life isn't harming you in any way, then what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. There's an extent, though, if what you're doing is putting negativity out there, if what you're doing is being hateful, that does harm in a way that it may not be physical. It's mental. It's emotionally. That's harming and weakening us, even possibly having a union as a country. That's all the time we have. Thank you for supporting Streaming Justice. Up next is more music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Streaming Justice will continue until 11 p.m. at youthexpress.org. But hopefully you can stay tuned and listen to the 7th grade students from Manchester Academics Charter School. They will be joining us in the next hour, so please make sure you stick around and tune in. Signing out, I'm Sienna and
Khalil.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving.